The first reading is from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 to 11. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Discipline yourselves. Keep alert. Like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, prowls around looking for someone to devour. Resist him steadfast in your faith. For you know that your brothers and sisters throughout the world are undergoing the same kinds of suffering. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Hear the word of the Lord.
Second readings from Mark 9. 14 to 29. When they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them and some scribes arguing with them. When the whole crowd saw him, they were immediately overcome with awe, and they ran forward to greet him. He asked them, "What are you arguing about with them?" Someone in the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought you my son. He has a spirit which makes him unable to speak. And whenever it seizes him, it dashes him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. And I ask your disciples to cast it out, but they do not do so." He answered them, "You faithless generation, how much longer must I be among you? How much longer must I put up with you? Bring him to me." And they brought the boy to him, and when the spirit saw him, immediately it threw the boy into convulsions, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. It has often cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you are able to do anything, have pity on us and help us." Jesus said to him, "If you are able, all things can be done for the one who believes." Immediately, the father of the child cried out, "I believe, help my unbelief." When Jesus saw that the crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You spirit that keep the boy from speaking and hearing, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." After crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out and the boy was like a corpse. So most of them said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he was able to stand. When he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" He said to them, This kind can come out only through prayer." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Be to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, our kids down the back there are actually in the middle of working on something, and you might like to know what we're working on right now. We're making a prayer mat. So, what a prayer mat is, it's not a prayer mat as in the one you put on the floor so you can pray. It is actually a tool for praying. See, we are doing, at the moment, a series where we're looking at different ways of praying and different types of prayer. And by having something which says different things you want to pray about and being able then to come along and sit before that and say, "I'm really sad about my schoolwork at the moment or my work," and being able to then put a stone on that mat and then sit back and you can pray silently. Now, if you're doing that in corporate prayer, it means that you can do that. Everybody else knows that you're sad about something, but you don't have to tell them what it is. You know? Sometimes you don't want to tell them what it is. The kids are working on something which will be a tool for them to be able to pray together, for us to be able to pray with them, so that they're not actually made to say it out loud right now, because you know what? God can hear it in your heart. You don't have to say it out loud. If you can think it, he can hear it. Okay? If you in your heart say, Lord, I'm really struggling with this. Help me. He will hear your thoughts. He will hear what you're saying in your heart, and he will hear that prayer. And you can do that, and that's really important because sometimes we feel like we've got to have fancy words and stuff. Jesus didn't use fancy words. Did you see what he said here? All he said was, hey, you spirit that makes this kid deaf and dumb, get out. That's not fancy. Like off my planet now, isn't it? That's not fancy. That's just straightforward. We don't need fancy words. We don't need to know all the Bible words. We don't need thee and thou. If that's how you pray, that's cool. If that's a reflection of who you are and how you pray, no problem, okay? If you're a fancy word person, go for it. God also loves fancy word people. It's not a problem. I grew up with the Revised Standard Version of the Bible, and I tend to pray in Revised Standard Version language quite often. And when I'm praying myself, and I had one person say to me, those words are a bit beyond me. They're a bit old. I was about 30 at the time. I wasn't very happy. But anyway, I said, well, actually, those are the words that my Bible uses, so I like to pray the words of Scripture. So those are the words I'm using. And then they understood. How we pray, those words we use, is not as important as the heart that is trying to speak to God. Okay? Whatever words you need. Sometimes we don't have any words. Our heart knows what it needs, and all our mouth can say is help. And sometimes we can't even say that. We are silent. If you've ever been stunned before something just so hard to look at, but the heart is crying out for God, he will hear. Right? I start there because I think it's important for us to know. I'm glad this is an exercise in learning how to pray and in learning how to express your feelings in prayer, because some people think that God's not interested in feelings. Well, that's a load of rubbish because he invented them. What you feel matters to him. What you think matters to him. Who we are matters to him. And where we're at matters to him, and everybody's in their own space quite often with their feelings, and it's okay to be where you're at. But if you don't like where you're at, then God wants you to be able to be in a place where you can have the freedom and the life that Jesus died to bring us, and that is where we come to a thing called deliverance. So it's not the movie. Deliverance is about freedom, and it is about freedom from the things of our lives that keep us bound. And sometimes those things are things which are just habits that won't go away. Sometimes those things are things which come from deep within, getting angry when actually there's no reason to be angry, but I'm angry. Why am I angry? What's going on? Sometimes those things are things which are a manifestation of something which is actually a wound from the past, as Anne was talking about last week. So sometimes we have come into a place where we are addicted to something, but actually the reason why that addiction had power in our lives is because way back there is a wound that needs healing. When we are healed of that wound, we become delivered, set free from the addiction. That's often how it works. Deliverance is about that freedom in Christ. And it doesn't have to be 360 spinning head pea soup exorcism, okay? Yes, I have to say that that sort of thing does happen. Not the pea soup stuff, that's just Hollywood. Or the 360 degree head, that would just spin your head off and you'd be dead. But things of the demonic realm do happen in people's lives, and they do manifest, and we do see them. And in this reading, we see something which is a manifestation of what the demonic, the evil in life is doing in this person's life. And this child cannot speak. But it's not about the not speaking that's really distressing the father. He can't speak, but something is bringing convulsions and he's foaming at the mouth and he's being thrown everywhere. Now, some people have epilepsy and that happens. That's a medical condition. It does not have to be demonic, okay? There's always a demon behind every bush, all right? Don't go looking for them, by the way. They might be there, but we don't need to find them. The whole thing is that Jesus understands what's going on here. What is happening here is not something which is a physical condition as much as it is something which is a manifestation of a demonic issue in this child's life. The father is well aware of it. He goes looking for Jesus, who he knows can look after these things. When Jesus casts out this spirit, he does not say, "You spirit of epilepsy, come out." If that was the issue, that's what he would say. He doesn't say that, does he? He actually doesn't address the fits and the foaming and all of that at all. What he addresses is the thing that's actually holding him. What he says is, "You spirit that keeps this boy from speaking and hearing, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." Jesus knew what the real problem was. The father knew what the real problem was. He said, "This spirit keeps him from speaking, but this is what it's doing to him." He understood. One of the most important things, if we are thinking about things which are getting into that place of real demonic stuff, is discernment. You need people who understand what they're dealing with. If you don't know, then you can call someone who has depression someone with a demon, when actually depression is simply a medical condition they have, right? We don't want to do that to people. But maybe it is actually something that's happening because of something the enemy is doing in their life, and they need healing for that thing. When they're healed from that thing, they can be released from the depression, but that isn't always how it works. Very important for us to discern and have people who know what they're doing in this field, because the wrong thing at the wrong time can do a lot of harm. If you've ever had anybody call you names or say you've done this when you didn't do it, you'll know what I'm talking about. You don't want to be in a place where you're being labeled, or where you're labeling someone when actually that's not it. A long time ago, I had a time when I was working with a lot of people who had various issues, and most of whom were living on the streets. And one of those people came to me, and he had exactly this sort of manifestation. He would fit. And the doctors had decided that he had epilepsy, but his fits were trying, he would almost be dying in the fit. It would be really, really bad. And I was well aware there were other things going on, which you can't really tell the doctors because they don't ask the priest down the road about it. But I knew that he had a compulsion to kill himself, that he would be running in front of trains, jumping in front of cars. That's a compulsion that he did not want to do. He was not suicidal. But suddenly, he would just have the thought, "I'm going to jump in front of that train." It was not good. We realized that that was obviously demonic, and I was trying to get into somebody, and as it happened, the thing manifested in my house when he was visiting one day. And I called my ministry team. They came in. We spent 3 hours praying over him. All of it left him. Everything. And no, I wasn't yelling. "Did you know that the devil is not deaf?" You can whisper, "Jesus is Lord. And it will do as it's told if you do that in the power of the name of Jesus." Okay? He's not deaf. We don't have to yell. Occasionally I get fed up, something's pushing back at me and I tell it off and I'll yell at it, but that's because I'm fed up, not because you can't hear me. Just like when you yell at the kids when they don't answer, hey? Somebody else that doesn't answer. Sometimes eventually you yell at them. But in fact, He can hear you perfectly well. Just doesn't want to listen. Sometimes. So you don't have to yell. Jesus didn't yell. He simply spoke. And it happened. He is our model. Okay? If you can't find it in here, don't do it. The hardest stuff in the world to deal with these evil spirits. If it is not in the ministry of Jesus, in the ministry that you find here in the pages of Scripture, don't go there. Okay? Just don't. If you need more help than you are getting, or if you feel there really is a problem, go to someone who knows what they're doing. All right? Come to someone who knows Jesus, who knows what they're doing, and who has that skill. Now, with this particular person, that was the first time I'd ever actually had to deal in the exorcism end of deliverance. There was no pea soup. There were no spinning heads. There was fitting, and there was levitation, which tells me it was definitely not mental illness, because you don't levitate when you're mentally ill. That was fun. I had to catch him. But anyway, these things show us that that's a demonic thing. Now, you may be sitting there going, nah, I can't be real. Well, two eyes have seen it, but I've seen it many, many times now. The fact is that we truly do have an enemy that prowls around looking for people to devour. And many people are open to that because of the lives that they live and the wounds that they have. And they don't realize they've got an open door. Or they have the open door and they're crying for God to deliver them. Please, God, take this away. Please, God, take this away. So God reaches down to take it. And they don't actually give it to him. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the hand of Almighty God, and he will exalt you in due time. Cast your cares upon him, and then your hands are empty, and you can receive. When you're in trouble and you go to God, hand it over. If you hand it over and you're prepared to let him do what he's doing, we hold on to stuff because we are afraid that somehow, deep within us, somehow we can't be forgiven. Somehow he won't take it. Somehow he doesn't really want us to be free. Somehow God's angry at me. And we usually learn those things from people around us. God loves you. Every part of you, all the way down to the bottom of the jar. Every bit of you he loves. He does not love the things that are holding you or worrying you or being a problem in your life. He loves you. He wants you to let him take them from you. Deliverance simply means freedom. And they don't have to be the big demonic things. The young man that we spent that 3 hours with was a Christian. Had given his life to Jesus, was absolutely surrendered to him, but when he was a child, people kept telling him he was a devil child. He had an open door from what his parents had spoken over him, and he could not shut that door himself. That's what had let this in. When that door shut, everything else was dealt with. Careful what you speak. This is why Jesus says, love your enemies, bless those who curse you. Just bless them anyway. Don't call them names. Because then you're actually against God. Let's not do that. We can all do it occasionally. Yeah. Who hasn't called somebody else an idiot in traffic? I dare you to put your hand up. You never called anybody an idiot in traffic. What I do, say bless you. Sometimes through gritted teeth. Try to do that anyway. Because when we do that, we're actually going against this. And this is actually part of it. When he says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you, he means we live the way that Jesus wants us to live. We live that way. We stand against him. And anyone can do this. Now, we have kids in the room, and I hope I'm not scaring you, because I'm not trying to, okay? Because this is not really scary, because Jesus is Lord and he is absolutely king over all this stuff. So you do not need to be afraid of it. When I was 15, my sister was into a whole lot of stuff, and it wasn't good stuff. And I had no idea how to deal with anything that felt like, was like this evil that was coming into our house because my sister was summoning stuff because she was getting into witchcraft. Not just Harry Potter witchcraft, I'm talking real witchcraft. But I was praying every night for her, and as I prayed for her, I would feel the evil come into the house and I would throw it out and I would simply say, you need to leave in the name of Jesus. My sister belongs to him. That's all I said over and over and over because that's what the Bible tells me to say. You leave in the name of Jesus and my sister belongs to him. That because I knew she did. And I just kept praying that even though she didn't think she did. I knew she did and I kept praying that because everybody does actually. He loves every human being. And they kept leaving. And she kept banging on my wall and telling me to stop because she wanted me to shut up so she could keep going. And I said, I'll shut up when you shut up. Ever had that fight? Hey, shut up when you shut up. Hey, shut up when you shut up. We used to do it all the time. We did it for a year. Okay. I was a kid. But Jesus is Lord and he is strong. And even as a child, you can stand up because we're all children before God. And all you need is the name of Jesus. Now, that does not mean you should go looking for these things to deal with, okay? But if you find yourself in a situation where you feel you're surrounded by evil, the name of Jesus is powerful and effective, and the blood of Jesus is what covers us. That's what the cross is about. That's why we have an empty cross, empty because Jesus is raised. He's not still hanging on a cross somewhere. He is raised because when he died on the cross and he shed his blood for us, that blood was shed in payment for anything that we would ever have done wrong in our lives. That means that because of that blood, when we have any sort of open door, anything wrong that we've done, we can actually call on Jesus when we come to him and we believe in him. And that stands. So the blood of Jesus does cover you when you believe in Jesus as your Lord, which I did. And the thing is that when we're living in that space, we learn how to live in a place where we're living safe and free. If we can learn not to listen to the words and the voices around us. There's lots of stuff in this world that will tell you otherwise. It will tell you that you're wrong, that you were born wrong, that something was wrong with you. It will tell you somehow that that thing you did 20 years ago is still a problem, that, you know, but you can't be worthy of anything because it'll tell you lots of things. And sometimes we come into a place where that becomes fear of being discovered. I don't know if you've ever found that one. Fear of being discovered. Because you did something you don't want anybody to know and you're afraid. And that fear actually binds us up. Fear is a rope that ties itself around us and binds us up. And that's because somewhere back there, the guilt of whatever it was you did or the shame of whatever it was you did has not been dealt with. You've not been able to receive forgiveness for that properly deep in your heart. And the best thing in the world is to go to Jesus and say, I'm sorry about that. And he will release you from it. But if you are still, but I'm afraid I'm going to be discovered, I did the wrong thing, but I'm afraid, you're still holding on to it, okay? You have to cast your cares on him, especially fear. Fear is one of the worst of the things that binds us up. Cast your cares on him and say, Jesus has forgiven me. I do not need to be ashamed anymore. I don't care what it is you did, okay? shame is not something he wants us to live in. When I start walking in that and I keep reminding myself, Jesus has forgiven me. I do not need to be ashamed of that anymore. Jesus has forgiven me. I am held not guilty before God. Therefore, it's not in my way. I can actually go to God and he will hear me. That breaks the power of those things. And when we really believe it and we walk in it and we use the name of Jesus, we get set free. Now, we can do that. Everybody can do that. But sometimes we can't do it for ourselves. Like that young man, he had no idea that wound was there way back in his life, and he couldn't break what was happening for him just by praying and saying, look, I know that Jesus has forgiven me. I'm a child of God. This thing needs to just go away. It's just not what I want, and I know it's coming from something else. It's not me. I didn't start it. You can't always do that. Sometimes you actually need more help. And I would encourage you, if you are finding something is recurring, come to somebody who knows what they're doing and can help you with it, okay? Partly because it's really important to be free. Nobody wants you walking around feeling like that. Especially Jesus. He don't want you feeling like that. He just doesn't. Honest to goodness, he didn't die on a cross so we could walk around feeling bad. He actually did that so we could be free. He doesn't want us to walk in shame and guilt. He took all of that to the cross. Doesn't want it. But sometimes we can't shake it ourselves because we don't know what the root is. And when we don't know what the root is, we can only go so far and we feel better, but then it comes back and we keep feeling it again. When that happens, go to somebody who knows what they're doing. Okay. Now, there are people in this church who have training to work in deliverance who can help you. And you can come and you can speak to me and we can arrange a team of people to pray with you to help you to become free, okay, if you are having trouble in whatever way. And it might not be deliverance, but the inner healing and deliverance are very well related. So it may be that it isn't a demonic thing. It's just that you need that heart wound healed. Okay? It isn't always a demon. Like I said, like people are depressed. They're depressed. Are they depressed because of a demon? Well, occasionally that's the truth. But a lot of the time it's just because the chemicals have gone way haywire and they need healing. And it will be physical healing, but often the reason why they've come into depression, there's something else. And that wound, that inner healing, that inner wound needs to be healed. So all of it working together. This is holistic ministry. We don't look at just one thing. We work together. We work with what God has brought us in the medical world. We work with what God has brought us through understanding scripture. We work with people who have trained in prayer ministry to help people to be healed all the way to the source. And in that place, the power that is healing you is not me or Anne or anybody else who's trained in this. The power that heals us is Jesus Christ, crucified and risen by the Holy Spirit. The Father, God, who created us. That's the power. There is no power in a human being. Any person is just a person. I'm just a person. People can put people on pedestals, and you see celebrity people in the Christian world all the time, don't you, who have a ministry. And they get put up on pedestals and everybody goes, this is a special prophet person or this is a special this person. Now, celebrate the fact that someone has a gifting, no problem, because God gave that gifting. But the gifting comes from Jesus. And that's actually one of the keys to being able to do any of this. If we can't humble ourselves before God first, then I think we have a problem. Don't go to somebody who yells and screams. Don't go to anybody who will take money for the power of God to be used. I don't care whether that's to get a prophetic word or anything else. If they want money for it, they ain't working with God, okay? Now, we take tithes and offerings in churches because it is right and good out of what God has given us to give back to him something which supports the work of the church and allows us to have ministry. Keeps the lights on, says one of the wardens. True. But we do not pay so that somebody can do something special with Jesus. Don't fall for it, okay? People make a display of these things and you're not supposed to be making money out of Jesus. There was a guy in the New Testament who was making money out of Jesus. Paul, the apostle, dealt with him. And, it wasn't really pleasant for him. He wanted that power and he wanted to pay to have it. And Paul said, you can't pay for this. Go away and find out what it means and then come back. And that's the bottom line. This is God's power working in us. When we come to faith in Jesus, we are delivered from that moment, from the power of sin and death in our lives. That power is broken by the name of Jesus. But there will be things sometimes in our lives that hold us, and we need to deal with them. And the right ones to come to are the ones you know you feel safe with, that have grace, that are not going to judge you for what you've done, and that are going to know the Lord Jesus, and you know that they know, and they have training in that place. Okay? Like I said, if you come up against something and you know it's demonic and it's right in front of you, the name of Jesus, you're a believer, you can use that. You believe in Jesus, you can use his name. If you don't believe in Jesus, I would advise you to find somebody who does. Okay? There's another story in the Bible about the seven sons of Sceva. They went out trying to cast out demons in Jesus' name, except that they did not know Jesus and they did not believe in him. When they turned up to try and cast out this demon, it overpowered them and threw them out of the house. And it said to them, Jesus I know, Paul I know, you, I don't know, get out. And they couldn't, they had no power. They can't do this. It's not a magic word. It's not a talisman. It's not a magic word. It's not a magic formula. There is no formula. There are no particular prayers to pray. Nothing is here that says you must say these particular words, except that if you're a person who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then no matter what the enemy is trying to do, you can use the name of Jesus and the power of God will be with you. And that is guaranteed in Scripture. It's a tricky subject because there's so much stuff around it and it can be scary. And I'm not trying to scare anyone, like I said. I ain't afraid because Jesus is Lord. I'm not afraid of any of this because Jesus is Lord. And he is absolutely Lord, and you are always safe in his presence. In the midst of all of the things that happened with the person that we prayed for those years ago, who was the very first that I had to do this with. And like I said, I really didn't know what I was doing, but I did what the Bible tells me to do. When the team came around and we prayed with this person, it reminded me that the day before, the Lord had had me pray for them for 3 hours. 3 hours. And the 3 hours were from 2 until 5 in the afternoon. And this person had been very tired and gone to sleep. And so I just sat down in the recliner, next to the recliner they were asleep in, and prayed over them for those 3 hours, not knowing why I was praying. The next day at 2 o'clock is when this happened, and between 2 and 5 was when this was happening in my house. God had made sure that the prayer happened and protected them and everybody else. He will cover you. He will protect you. He will be with you. He will always look after you. And if you have anything happen that you feel is not good, find somebody who knows what they're doing, if you can. I know that that person was safe because God set it up. God knew that the next day he was going to make sure that a team could come and set that person free. When that person was free, that person then walked out of my house. No compulsions, no addictions, and worshipping Jesus. Now, from that moment, they needed to maintain that, and that is the last point. Once you are free, if God clears out the house, you've got to put something else in it because the enemy will want his house back. Thank you very much. It was very comfortable, and he wants to come back. All right? You know, if you ever wanted to go back to the house you had before, you really like that house and you're missing something, you get back there and somebody else is in there, very annoying. We were going back to my home in Mornington, which I loved because it was a really nice home. And I went there and I looked at it and went, you've changed that, you've changed that, you've changed that. That's very annoying. Can't have it. Fill the house. How do you fill the house? Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Pray, Holy Spirit, fill the gap. And then walk in Jesus. If this sort of thing happens and you are in a position where you were still wrestling with your faith in Jesus, come to him, ask him to fill you, and he'll get in that house and change it so much that when the enemy comes back, I don't like it anymore. But you've got to fill the house. Okay. Very important. Okay. And you've got to close the doors. So sometimes we pray and we feel better, and like I said, it comes back again. Come looking for help if that's continuing to happen, because, like I said, sometimes we don't realize we've got a back door open and we need somebody else to help us discern that. There is nothing wrong with needing help to discern these things. There is nothing wrong with needing help ever for anything. If you're having a bad day, there's nothing wrong with needing help. You're having a good day, there's nothing wrong with celebrating with people either. But if you're having a bad day and something is happening and you just don't know, call someone you know is mature enough in the Lord to pray with you. If you're young and you're having trouble, have a chat with your parents. If your parents can't help you or they're not people that you know you can talk God things with, then find a trusted Christian in your life. Make sure that you talk to them. Don't put up with it. You don't have to. Okay? You do not have to. Sometimes we put up with things for years and years and years. I spent from childhood through until after I was ordained. Yeah, it's probably about 55 years feeling like I was unheard and unseen. And it kept coming back and it kept coming back. And then one day I was at prayer ministry training. And something happened and I turned around and then said, it's about time you lot saw me. And they turned around and said, so when are you going to get help for that? So I went and had prayer ministry and guess what? I haven't had that problem anymore. Because the wound came from someone, sometime that I would never have known, but Holy Spirit did. I was 3 days old, the nursery that I was in burned down. I was under a blanket. People came and saved the kid who was burning, fair enough, and then they saved me. But my little child self thought that they left me. And God healed that heart wound that I would never have known about. And in that healing, he released me from worrying about whether I'm seen and heard or important to anybody. I'm important to Jesus. You're all important to Jesus. And you're important to me, so I'm going to shut up now. A long message, but it's important that we cover everything because I don't want you going away and missing something. please come and have a chat. You're welcome to talk about it. But now what I really want to do is invite you as we sing this next song. This next song is a song which is calling on the Holy Spirit to come. That's what it's called, Holy Spirit Come. As we sing this next song, I'm inviting you into prayer. If there is something you would like prayer for this day, and you actually feel you would like that prayer and you would like it now, please come down to the front. Come down to the front. If you're up for that, come down to the front. And I will pray for you. And I'm going to ask that you come, and then Anne and I, and we've got other leaders here who can pray for you. We want to pray for you. Now, surprise. I didn't tell them I was going to do this. I just feel this is what God wants me to do. If you need prayer for a specific thing today and you would like prayer for that thing, please come forward. I've got my little holy oil. If someone needs anointing, I've got all that stuff. It's not really holy, but, you know, it's oil, and often oil was used for anointing. I have these things with me, but also all I really feel is that the Lord wants to set someone free today. And you don't need to be afraid to come forward. If you are and you don't want to come forward because you don't want to do that in front of people, no problem. Come and talk to me afterwards. We'll make an appointment. We'll have a team. We'll pray with you, okay? All right, it's fine. I'm not saying everybody has to flood down the front, but if you would like prayer and you'd like it now, here is an invitation. Holy Spirit, come.